Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Mary, intimate witness to God's love incarnate by Dr. Lewis McCall, follows the remarkable transformation of Mary from a humble peasant girl in Nazareth to a bold witness of the gospel who journeys across ancient lands to spread God's message. This narrative offers a vivid and compassionate portrayal of Mary's personal struggles, her need for a Savior, and her evolution into a steadfast disciple and mother of faith. Blending historical accuracy with spiritual insight, you will see Mary through a lens of authenticity, her fears, her resilience, and her unwavering devotion to God. Dr. Lewis McCall has written several faith-inspired works that blend biblical history, cultural insight, and Christian devotion. Born in Chicago, Illinois, Dr. McCall earned his Ph.D. in political science from Northwestern University, attended the National War College, a distinguished 36-year career in the U.S. Department of State. He's worked, lived in over 60 countries, finding ways to live out his faith through ministry, teaching, and song. A man of deep conviction, Dr. McCall has served as a lay minister, cantor, and missionary collaborator with both Protestant and Catholic communities around the world. Today, he continues his calling as an author, bringing timeless biblical figures to life through storytelling that inspires faith and reflection. Dr. Lewis McCall, author of Mary, Intimate Witness to God's Love Incarnate, is our guest on This Week in America. Dr. McCall, welcome to the program. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Rick.
I love what you've done with the book. It's receiving rave reviews, and justifiably so. Where did this all start for you, this fascination, this inspiration that you got to write this book?
Well, about 3 weeks, I will have been married to my Catholic charismatic wife for 20 years. And so I've come to learn a lot about the Catholicism and about their particular love for Mary during that time. I'm still very much a Protestant, but the Catholics accept me, and the Protestants give me leave to do what I do. I've had those connections for many years, and included spending some time, about 40 years ago in India with Mother Teresa. I was able to do some things for her. But the real reason I wrote the book is that I was not satisfied with the books that were out there. I think they gave not a good representation of her. I used to live in Florence, Italy as consul general there. And so that is a place steeped in Renaissance yes. art. And a lot of that art displays Mary in a role of like the Queen of Heaven with all sorts of royal garments and crown on her head and so on. And what I wanted to present was a very down-to-earth Mary. And the other books seem to stop when Jesus is crucified and resurrects. And then you don't hear any more about Mary in the Bible. But she didn't go away.
Yes.
And so what I wanted to do was to fill that out based on literary license, but also on facts that could be discerned.
And you do a wonderful job in doing that. And as you're reading it, as I'm listening to you, it's like, yes, her life sort of comes to an end as we know it, but it really didn't come to an end at that point in time. And you pick us up with that and what would have happened, what could have happened to Mary as we go forward. The book is Mary, Intimate Witness to God's Love Incarnate by Dr. Lewis McCall. His website is lewismccallinternational.com. Written a number of other books as well that you will find out as you go to his website. And we've got all this information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Does your book diminish Mary in any way, do you think?
Not at all. Now, I've heard people from other major denominations say that some people kind of elevate Mary to being like the fourth member of the Trinity. And there is a part of Catholicism that is what we would call Marian. And that is not typical of all Catholics. Just like you have differences among Protestants, there are differences among Catholics. So my wife is not a Marianist, and I am not either. So I just try to present the Mary as I think she was. And there's a lot to see there.
There is, and you bring it to life and gets us to looking at Mary and thinking of her maybe in a different way than we've done over the course of the years. You've said, I've taken and learned something from the women in my life that has helped me write the book about Mary and the unique woman Mary was and her journey in life. Just talk about that for a second, the respect you have for women and the fact that this still in many cases is a man's world, and Mary certainly lived in a world that was a man's world back in those days. What impact has the women around you had on your appreciation for Mary?
I guess you could say I was a mama's boy, and I also had some very close aunts that impacted my life tremendously. But I consider women to be a better model of human being than men.
Yes.
They are just naturally more attentive, more, just more delicate and they're encouraging, uplifting. Men don't really show their emotions a whole lot. And so Mary, the woman was created after the man, but as with many other things, that second model is often better. So in some respects, they're better. And I think we see in Mary someone who, she had that, but she was suppressed. She was suppressed because of the time that she was in. She wasn't given opportunity really to speak. And even after Jesus had been crucified and resurrected and the church was established, she wasn't given opportunity to speak. One of her sons, James, he became a leader in that church in Jerusalem, but she was basically a potted plant. They talked about her, but they didn't allow her to talk about herself. So what this book does is it shows the transition, the arc of her development as she gets into other places and cultures and has the opportunity, which she relishes, to be a witness of the things that she was an eyewitness to, together with the Apostle John. Jesus on the cross told John, "This is your mother." And he told Mary, "Look, this is your son." She had other sons, but Jesus wanted her and John to bond. And so they became a team witnessing of the things that they had seen with their own eyes. And I'll say this, Luke wrote two books in the New Testament. That is the Gospel of Luke and the Acts of the Apostles. Luke wasn't a Jew. He was a Greek. He came from Antioch, but he joined up with Paul and stayed with him more faithfully than any of the other people that had traveled with him. And so how do you think Luke comes up with this, this detail about Mary in the beginning of that book? He had to get it from her. He got it from her firsthand, and he brags about it. He says, "I'm an expert in these things." Why? Because he got it from Mary and also from John.
You know, Mary is such an icon. What can women today take away from your telling of the story? There's really inspiration there, isn't there?
There is. One of them is patience. She had to have patience. She also had to submit to authority. That's hard.
Yes.
even today, women don't like the idea of submitting or taking a back seat. Our country is a good example of that. We just don't seem to be able to elect a woman as president when many other countries have done that. But we don't. And it wasn't until 1922 that women in this country were able to vote. So Mary was patient, And when her opportunities came, she seized them. And God used her far more than she would have thought possible. And the amazing thing is that their journey ended up in Ephesus, which was the center of the mother goddess worship of Artemis, also known as Diana. And so there she was, the mother of the Son of God, at the same time that you had the largest Greek-style temple in the ancient world being in town. And the worship of this mother goddess, Artemis, was a big center of people being attracted to that place. They were a seaport, a lot of trade, but pilgrims came there worshiping this goddess. So there you had this this real conflict between the two. And so it shows a lot of courage on her part to be there when there were adherents to this goddess that would have gladly have snuffed out her life.
What evidence do you have behind the claim? You talked about that you that Mary lived in the house that you visited in Ephesus. What evidence do you have of that? How do you know that that's accurate?
It's amazing. There's been one or two popes that have actually traveled there and gone to that house. But the house was not really known until more recently. There were a number of archaeologists that were attempting to find it, and they had about given up. And one of them recalled there was a book written by a nun. This nun had never been there. This nun, on her deathbed, told about her vision of the place and the house. And so going by her account, they were able to find the house based on the terrain and other things. And while my wife and I were there about 4 years ago, and it was just amazing, Muslims have a very high opinion of Mary. We just saw a stream of Muslim pilgrims coming up to that house. You know, there are four books in the Quran that are about Mary. So Muslims hold her in very high esteem.
Our guest on the program is Dr. Lewis McCall. His website is lewismccallinternational.com. The book is Mary, Intimate Witness to God's Love Incarnate. The link on our website will take you directly to Dr. McCall's website. Information there, of course, on this book and all of the books that he has written. A fascinating conversation. Why did Mary leave the country she lived in all of her life? Why did she decide to leave?
Well, she left for fear of her life.
That's a good reason to leave, yes.
Yes. The first martyr of the early church was one of the apostles. It was James. James was the brother of John, and he was beheaded. And the king at that time, Herod, thought, okay, that went over well. I'll do this with Peter too. And he was arrested, and he was set to be executed the next day. But there's an account in the Bible of how people prayed for him, and an angel came and liberated him. There began a big persecution, and that was started by Saul, who later became Paul. And so Stephen was considered to be the first Christian martyr. He was a deacon, and he was hauled before the Sanhedrin, which was the Jewish religious high court, and they killed him. They didn't want to hear what he had to say. And so there is information in the scripture that the religious leaders not only wanted to kill Jesus, but they wanted to kill Lazarus, who Jesus had raised from the dead after he had been dead for 4 days, because they wanted to just snuff out this movement before it got going, but they failed. So out of fear that they would come after her too, John left and took her with him, because Jesus said, this is your mother now. John took her, and so my book recounts this journey heading north up to Ephesus, stopping in Samaria, where Philip who was a deacon together with Stephen, lived with his daughters. His daughters prophesied, and they didn't prophesy around the kitchen table. They prophesied in the local synagogue. They had a public ministry, and this was an eye-opener for Mary. Oh, women can do things like that here. And they encouraged her. She went on to, in the book, I have her go on to Samaria, to a place where Jesus and the Apostle John had also visited, Jacob's well. And that was another coming out for her, where people wanted to hear what she had to say, and they respected her. And John gave her space. You know, he didn't say, well, you be quiet, I'll take care of this. Yes. He gave her space. And from there, they went up to Antioch of Syria, which was not a Jewish church at all, or synagogue. This was a multinational church, with people from North Africa, from Cyrene, it was called, which is kind of like Morocco, and other places. And so this was totally out of context for her. And so she had to learn something new. And from there, they eventually wound up in Ephesus, which was one of the great cities of the Roman Empire at that time. And you go there today, and out of those ruins, you can see what a great city it was, even though the port part of it kind of silted up, and the sea is now several miles away from where it was in her day.
The book we're talking about is by Dr. Lewis McCall, Mary, Intimate Witness to God's Love Incarnate. Do you have to be Catholic to appreciate this book about Mary?
Not at all. And I'm glad that the one Catholic parish around here decided to use that book for a study. But as I said, I'm not a Marianist, neither is my wife. And so this book is not a Marian book. There is no mention in this book of apparitions of Mary. And for a lot of Catholics, that's really big, you know. You probably heard of the three children at Fatima in Portugal and the apparition that they saw or claimed to see. People are big on these apparitions. But there's none of that in this book. So that may not appeal to Catholics, but I'm going primarily on what is in Scripture and what does not conflict with the canon of Scripture.
You talked before about there was nothing specifically written in the Bible about Mary after the death and resurrection of her son Jesus. How did you go about constructing what might have, what likely happened to her after that? How challenging was that to pick up Mary, where we all left her off after the death?
Well, the next big thing that happened was the day of Pentecost. And there were 120 people there. It started out with 500. It took 10 days of their gathering to come together. And she certainly would have been there. And so what happened to kick off the church at that time, she would have been a part of. And you can see that in some of the Renaissance paintings. They'll have her as a center of that activity on the day of Pentecost. They recognize that. As I said, in her travels, she's going to see things. The book opens up with her in Ephesus with Priscilla, who together with her husband had traveled with Paul. That was unusual. Priscilla is one of the leaders of this huge church in Ephesus. And so again, this kind of opens up her eyes to what women can do. And Priscilla encourages her not just to sit on a back row, but to be a full participant and give them the advantage of you know, her wisdom and her story. This was a great honor to have the mother of the Son of God with them.
You talked about your travels. I'd like to ask how that the travels, what part that played in telling the story. You talked about Ephesus and the impact that had on you. How important was actually traveling these cities, walking her path? How important was that to accurately telling the story?
I think it added a lot for me.
Yes.
I have had a career in the Foreign Service, and I have lived in or worked in more than 60 countries around the world. But I've been through Israel, I've been through Jordan and Egypt. Mary spent some time there as a refugee, and been to places where the local Coptics would say the Holy Family of Jesus and Mary and Joseph lived during that time in Egypt. I went up north to the area where Jesus had spent most of his ministry, around the Sea of Galilee, and I have been obviously to Ephesus and to other places. And it's important in Ephesus. One of the things that you see there is the grave of John, the Apostle John. There was a basilica that was built there, and his remains were buried there. However, the government of Turkey exhumed that and have hidden it off in a museum, not for access by the public. So you have that. And then you have the House of Mary, which obviously the local Muslims accept as being that house because they stream there every day. Yes. And there are others that go there. So this was important. It provided some context. And it added to the story. How then do you protect this woman who was fleeing for her life in the first place from those in Israel, particularly in Jerusalem, that wanted to snuff out this new movement? And now she's in a center of the worship of a great mother goddess. And there were people like Paul that had some rough times in that city because of what they were professing and what people there were believing, the pagans. So, it helped to have context to see where that house was in relation to the markets and the amphitheater and what would have been the temple and the library and so on, where the rich people lived and where the poor people lived. It helped to have context.
What did you learn yourself about Mary? You went into this with admiration. How did that change? How did that build on that admiration you had for her? In doing this research and writing this, you're almost like you're there side by side with Mary as you're telling the story. What impact did it have on you?
Well, first off, when Mary is met by the Archangel Gabriel and told that she was going to be the host of this baby, that it was going to be supernatural, the angel gives her a clue and says, look, nothing's impossible with God. And to show you, your cousin Elizabeth, who was barren, she's in her old age, I want you to know that she's already 6 months pregnant. And so Mary says, okay, let me go and visit her. And so that increased her faith. And when she gets there, the first thing her cousin does, she's moved on by the Holy Spirit to speak prophetically over her and lets her know that she's carrying the Son of God. Mary didn't send a tweet or a telegram or anything. She knew this supernaturally. And so that strengthened her faith that, okay, this is all what the angel said. And because I've seen this with my cousin, I know it's going to happen to me too. But it wasn't all roses. When she got back home, her fiance, Joseph, didn't want to have anything to do with it. He was going to divorce her quietly, and he presumed that there was somebody else was involved. It wasn't his child. It had to take an angelic intervention in a dream with Joseph for him to get on board and raise this child.
It's a fascinating book. We could use much more time in talking about what's in Mary, Intimate Witness to God's Love Incarnate. The book is available wherever books are sold. Dr. Lewis McCall is the author. His website is lewismccallinternational.com. A couple minutes left here in the program. What has this been like for you? You're now retired, and you say this gives you the freedom to go where God is taking you. What are you working on next? And I say retired from one occupation. You're more than busy with this and doing research and writing and telling these magnificent stories. What are you working on now?
Well, I have a new book that's going to be released next week. It's a book about David. It's called David, Man After God's Own Heart. And it comes at a time when there's a new feature movie. It's animated, but it's coming out from Angel Studios. That's coming out, I think tomorrow is when it's released. It's about David. And there is also a series on TV that is being streamed in its second season, which is called The House of David. So there's more interest in that. So I have my book coming out. But at the same time, I've had a couple of major movie studios approach me about taking this book, Mary, and adapting it to the big screen. So we're hoping that will be come to fruition, and that my movie on the life of Mary will actually be available for everyone.
That would be fantastic. I hope that works out. As you're telling me, this is sort of a visual story you're telling in the book, Mary, and I can see that being made into a very moving motion picture. I hope that happens. I hope we have a chance to talk about the book, David, that's coming out soon. And a few days early, but congratulations. Happy anniversary. You had 20 years with your wife, who's very active with you in the ministry as well. Our guest has been Dr. Lewis McCall. He is the author of Mary, Intimate Witness to God's Love Incarnate, the book available wherever books are sold. I'll direct you to Dr. McCall's website, information there on all of the books he's written and all of the projects he's working on and will be coming up in the future. That is lewismccallinternational.com. And I'd like to thank King Pages Press, Dr. McCall's marketing consultant, results-oriented, making sure your work gets the attention it truly deserves. Dr. McCall, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us on the program. A master storyteller, wonderful job with this with this book. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
It has been our pleasure. The book is Mary, Intimate Witness to God's Love Incarnate by Dr. Lewis McCall. All the information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.